Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in Radio DMG may or may not be the views and opinions of the DMGI's family of sites. All music used in this podcast is the property of whoever made it, and no copyright infringement is intended. God bless this albatross, and hold on tight for the awesome you're about to receive.
It's got to be the king.
To Radio DMG episode 4. My name is Philip, and I'm here with my co-host
Sarah Tomasi,
and we're going to talk a bit about the Pokemon event that we went to, the Black and White Mall tour today, and we're going to talk about the Oscar-nominated animated films, the short films and the feature films, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give some opinions on all of that, as well as the Black and White demo that we got to try out, and some of the interesting events. So, let's go ahead and start on the Pokemon event that we went to today. How was that?
It was fun. We started off with the stamp collecting, which was you had to go all the way across the mall to different locations and get 5 stamps. 5 stamps. And so we got those in about 15 minutes.
And then they stamp your hand to mark you like you're Jewish or something.
And you get to spin the wheel.
Yeah, you get to spin like a little wheel. And what did you win?
I won that cell phone strap.
Charm thing
with
pictures.
It looked like a honeycomb with a picture of each of the 3 starters. It's pretty lame.
Yeah, it's kind of spiffy. There was one of the kids over there was like, oh, this is great. There are a lot of people there.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of kids. I was surprised by how many kids are still into Pokemon. I kind of forgot because I've been playing Pokemon since 1997.
Yeah,
98
when it came out. Yeah.
98, it came out when I was 12, but I'm 25 now.
I'm 30.
And there are still 5th graders playing it and afraid to get picked on.
Yeah, that was great. I told the kid, I was like, hey, you know, kids will tease you in high school over it, but once you get to college, it's all gravy.
You know? Oh, yeah. You did trade with some of the kids.
Oh, yeah. I got an Arceus. All I had to trade over was a Torchic.
Yes.
Yeah, a level 1 Torchic.
The trading at that mall was insane.
Oh, my goodness. It was so full of people. And the Pokewalker stuff. We had a lot of people
with Pokewalkers. Yeah, I transferred things into my game for my Pokewalker at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and we had a bunch of people that we knew from non-Descon show up.
That was pretty
good, yeah.
The squishy guy.
Oh, yes, the squishy guy. So,
And they don't call you that because you're fat and you squish when they hug you.
That's true.
Thankfully. Yes, anyway.
I'm so glad that I'm... No, I think squishy's more popular than I am, which is fine.
Well, after we got the stamps...
Oh, wait, I won a plush toy. I won a Tepig.
Yeah, and we actually... After you get the stamps, you have to stand in this long line for the spin thing. And we just walked right up. And
we were asking about it, and they're like, oh, just here's the thing, spin.
And they let us spin right away. So we cut in front of about 70 people.
70? Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And so I got the charm, and Philip got one of the $10 plush toys. And you got to pick from one of the starters. Yes.
Tepig.
Yes, Tepig.
Tepig is adorable.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, and then after that, I think we went and played the games.
Oh, no, no. We went and bought the other one. Oh, yes. Things. Yeah, we bought the other two starters, Oshawott and Snively? Snively?
Snivy.
Snivy. I call him Snively.
Yes. Anyway, the plushies times. Were really high quality. Very, very soft.
Yeah. I took some pictures of them with squishy.
They also had a Pikachu one and a Zoroa and a Zoroark.
Zoroark?
Zoroark.
Zoroark.
The two Pokemon from the new movie.
Yeah, from the new movie.
And you could buy those. Or you could buy giant plushies for $20 of the two new...
the legendaries. The fiery thingy and the dark thingy. It's not dark, it's lightning. Which is a shame. It should have been a dark dragon. That would have been sweet.
Yeah, I don't really play around with the legendaries too much.
I like them. They're pretty good. I always use like the Mewtwo and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
And you got a figurine for that dark.
The dark one.
The legendary for Pokemon.
Is it Zerushrim something? Well, we'll look that up later, I guess.
Yeah, they also had T-shirts for sale with all the starters and Pikachu and.
Pikachu's and everything.
Is there any other T-shirts? You can get the T-shirts in black and white.
Yeah, I think they'll probably sell those at like the Pokemon Center or the Nintendo
World Store.
Nintendo World Store from the from their website probably.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So the merchandise was pretty cool.
Pretty cool, yeah.
I got Celebi. I got two Celebis at GameStop.
I got mine before the event, actually. Mm-hmm. When you take the Celebi into Heart Gold or Soul Silver, you can go to Ilbix Forest and fight Giovanni after a little event happens.
In Pokemon Heart Gold or Soul Silver.
I would say the average level for his Pokemon is a little under 50. So if you got your Celebi from GameStop, your Celebi is level 50 already. So, yeah, it doesn't know too many really useful moves. It's only got one move, which I would consider useful because it actually hits stuff. The other stuff is kind of meh. But, yeah, that's a pretty neat little event. And then we got to take a lot of interesting pictures at there. Yeah,
because there were a lot of Team Rockets, and there was one Misty and one Brock with curly hair. And, there was an Absol.
Yeah.
And there was Magma.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to take too many
was
pictures,
though. Was that a
Team
Aqua?
I think they're also from the new teams for Black and White, too.
Oh, okay, because I didn't recognize them. They look like Magma Knights or something.
Yeah, they do. They're the PETA people from the new one, Black and White.
There were at least a dozen girls dressed up as Pikachus.
Mm-hmm. Quite a few people cosplaying, actually. A lot of people that we've seen at non-DeskCon. And it was interesting. Let's talk about... the black and white demo before we get into... Yeah, let's talk about the game.
So you wait in this long... It's actually pretty... Probably the longest line.
Yeah, it was short when we got in it, though.
Yeah.
And then it got longer during
the
day.
And you go in and you watch... You're standing about 2 feet... less than 2 feet away.
Yeah.
From these four giant plasma screen TVs, which are really hot.
Yeah.
And you watch this...
little five-minute video or so?
Yeah, five-minute video introducing you to all the Pokemon. It was really cool because it's like... The flying electric type Pokemon, squirrel Pokemon, or...
Oh, that one's
pretty
cool.
Oh, that new normal bird Pokemon looks pretty awesome.
The Bravari or something.
Yeah, and then you had to scream to get everyone outside the area amped up.
And it's then like, they're torturing us! They're torturing us!
Yes, and then they ushered you in to this room full of Game Boy... Or not Game Boy.
Game Boy. Oh, DS Lights.
DS Lights.
I know, that was so weird.
It was like... All these DS lights, these white
That's
DS
what
lights
happened to those.
That no one bought.
I guess.
Probably had broken hinges, too.
Probably.
Anyway. Yeah, you got to play, and you played, you talked to, like, three characters, and then you go, and you can go in the tall grass and
fight the little Shinichi or something. Yeah, the
Chinchilla Pokemon.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm gonna name mine Cinnamon.
I don't know I'll name mine yet, but that Chinchilla Pokemon is...
Cute.
Better than Pikachu. I'm going to say it now. Even though it's just normal, it's adorable.
Zoroa is better than Pikachu.
Oh, what?
I like that Zoro.
Oh, the one from, the movie?
Yes.
Like,
he's
it
cute.
Does that
yes.
a lot.
So, the demo lasted about
seven
minutes.
Yeah, you go in, you can fight in the grass. You can't level up them. They've all got Everstones on them. I did a recording of all the little stats for it, and I'll put that in here, too, on this episode, near the end. And
so in your party, you get either Tepig or Snivy, and they're like level 18 or so, and then you also get that
deep. Mine was Pokemon. level 25.
Oh, I don't know.
I had a level 25 Tepig. I was like a 22 or 25, one of those. It was like pretty great, actually.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you fight your I guess kind of your rival.
Yeah, you're level 25 and everyone else is level 18. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a deer Pokemon.
I like that one.
And what was the other one?
It's grass deer.
What was the other Pokemon you had?
Vicente.
Really?
Is it no? Oh, I think, I wait, was it Vicente or is no? No, is Aurora? It was the little the thing that we that was in the movie, the Aurora, the little one, the little one,
Aurora,
the little one that's like, I can't pronounce his name very well. There's Zoroark, Zoroark,
Zoroark,
and then Zoroark.
Anyway.
So
the only Pokemon that I really know are the first 151 by name.
Yeah, and then like so that one has illusion.
Yeah, the gameplay was pretty neat because for the first time, all your Pokemon sprites are always moving constantly.
They're alive,
and it kind of zooms in, so the graphics kind of look a little bit more pixelated, but they're moving. So
oh yeah, it's pretty great. They're vectors, I guess, instead of sprites. So they're kind of like Farmville.
And I was kind of disappointed I couldn't get into the menu, because that's, like, the functionality of that is what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I wanted to see the touch functionality, but most of it was disabled, because I was trying to select stuff with my stylus. I had my DSi XL in my pocket, so I pulled out the stylus from that. I was trying to get that to work there, but it looks like it was disabled or something. It also, on the top menu there, said infrared, so I'm like, okay, that's weird that they would have that up there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you go and you face off against your little rival guy, and then you can face off against, wait, do we fight the Juniper or something? Wait, no, do we fight
you
her?
You go up to the Juniper, and she's like, oh, let's go capture this
legendary
Pokemon, and then the demo ends.
Yeah, and they show, like, the little thing, he's standing in there all looking all horrible and 3D and goth. He's like,
it looked really cool.
Yeah, something like that. And, that was pretty good. Then it shows like a little trailer. If you sit there and watch the opening section, explaining all these neat little changes and stuff. So it's gonna be a pretty good game. I just wish the demo were longer.
We'll buy it on March 6th.
Yeah.
No so pre-ordering though. But.
Yeah, so we can download Vicente.
Yeah, well, you have a month to download him, and he's awesome. I like how he has a victory V.
Fire and psychic. I'm like, all right. So he's gonna learn some nice moves.
Flamethrower.
Well, yeah.
And psychic.
Psychic. Yeah.
And he's cuter than Mewtwo.
I don't know.
Mewtwo's ugly.
No, Mewtwo is...
ugly.
He's cool, not cute. He's not intended to be cute. He's cool.
I like the cute Pokemon.
Anyway. He likes the cute Pokemon. Yes, you do. Okay. then we got, like, these little pins. We got a... you got a black one? Actually, they gave us both black ones, and I traded my black one for a white one, so that we had both.
Another thing we got to do is they had these, I think they were petite women, but I think a lot of people thought they were children
in these
suits with the dressed up as the starters, so they were like, there was a Tepig, and a Snivy, and an Oshawott.
Yeah, we missed the Oshawott.
And they're really short and really furry.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
And you could get your picture taken with them.
It was pretty great. Lots of interesting stuff there. One thing I think is amusing, here's the description of the Pokemon event from the website. Meet never-before-seen Pokemon while playing demos of the new Pokemon Black version and Pokemon White version video games. Watch special screenings of the new Pokemon movie, Pokemon Zoroark, Master of Illusions. This is your only chance to watch the movie in theaters, and best of all, it's free. Which is great.
It was free.
Yeah, enjoy a fun hunt around the mall collecting stamps to discover new Pokemon and win cool prizes.
Not very fun, but I like the cool prizes.
Yeah, I like the prizes part. Then meet some of the new Pokemon characters as well as plenty of other photo opportunities, so remember to bring your camera. And it was because we were taking pictures that we got kicked out. Well, I got kicked out. You didn't get kicked out.
Yeah, but he still escorted us out of the mall. And then... mall security,
you know,
the
Paul
mall
Blart.
Security jeep to watch us exit the mall parking lot.
Yeah, that was kind of weird and awkward, and the only reason for it is because we're press. What happened was we'd sent emails beforehand to try and set up, you know, so that we can take an official capacity, and then they hadn't gotten back to us on the emails, and then the day there I I was taking pictures, just normal, you know, taking pictures because I know a lot of the people from non-Descon and such. And then we were approached by a mall cop, big chubby mall cop guy. Literally, like, the epitome of, yeah, like, Paul Blart.
The only thing, he didn't have a Segway.
No, he didn't. Yeah, so he probably could have used one.
It was actually kind of funny. As he escorted us out, we had to kind of slow down so he could catch up to us. Is he still following us? Oh, he's sprinting up the escalator.
Ah, yeah. It's funny. He's sprinting up the escalator as passing people who are taking pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, in, like, the food court and stuff. But apparently... Well, I saw somebody dressed up as Pakarisu, the little squirrel thing. I was like, oh, I know that person from non-Descon, because I'd seen them there before. I think I have a picture of them already in our non-Descon stuff. But I was like, oh, can I get a picture of you with Squishy? And,
he's standing right there.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, wait, you can't do this.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, well, can I get, like, official capacity for this or so? We made all these phone calls. It took them an hour to get back to me on this. And then after about an hour, they were like, well... You can't take pictures in an official capacity as news media, but you can take pictures of family and friends. And I'll admit it, after non-Descon, I feel that everyone at non-Descon is kind of part of a big extended family. But yeah, but they're friends. We know them. A lot of these people went to the same that convention, and it was great. That's a great convention. Yeah,
they come up and ask, "Oh, will you take our picture?"
Yeah, we had people who would ask that, and. I was like, okay, then I guess I can take pictures of friends. Friends.
Yeah, and I can take pictures of Tepig and Snivy.
Yeah, because like when we were in the Pokemon booth, the Pokemon people were like, yeah, you can take pictures. We got to meet some interesting people there, and it was pretty great. But yeah, then after I'd finished taking a picture with Snivy and that was ending and stuff, we go through there and we saw a cosplayer that we'd seen several times before.
Yeah, at Akon and AnonymousCon. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, let's go take a picture there. And we went over there and got a picture. And after that...
And there are other people taking the same picture.
Yeah, there are other people standing around taking the same picture with cameras. There are some cameras...
And a DSi.
Yeah. There are some cameras there that are way nicer than mine. And people were going around taking pictures
I saw one girl. She had a camcorder and a DSLR.
Yeah. DSLR. Yeah. And, but no, the cop was like, hey, I'm going to have to escort you out now. And I actually, before we left, much to your annoyance, I did actually ask him a couple questions with recorder firmly in hand. Because if you're going to be singled out and kicked out for taking pictures while everyone else around you is taking pictures...
And when the official event says, bring your camera...
Yeah. I'd like to know why. And he confirmed it. Yeah, I was being singled out because I was press. Well, that's not fair. And I'm going to leave his name in our recording anyways. I mean, it's his job that he had to do. And I don't fault him for doing his job. I just feel that was extremely unfair. It was unprofessional.
And we were being punished for being professional.
For trying to get official capacity. If they'd returned their emails, that would be nice. If they'd have, if they didn't approve it because they're like, well, in an official capacity. And I'm like, well, what if they're just friends? And he's like, well, I don't know who you... Well, you'll have to listen to it. I'll insert it later on in this show. But let's get on to our next thing. The movie impressions that we saw. Like, we saw the movie, Zorark, Master of Illusions.
That was actually really good. It reminded me of the fourth Pokemon movie, Pokemon Heroes, which so far I have only seen... One through...
Something or other. You didn't right see all of Destiny Deoxys. Yeah, you fell asleep during Destiny Deoxys.
Yeah, and
you
haven't seen past that. Yeah, Pokemon Marathon kind of got put on hold.
Yeah, it did.
But Pokemon Heroes is my favorite Pokemon movie. The one with those two white dragons, what are they called?
Latias and Latios.
Yes,
Latias, yeah. I've seen all of them except for Arceus. And the, I guess what, the Cradle of Life or something? Yeah, I'm not sure. The Wheel of Life. The Wheel of Time, the Cradle of Life, the Circle of Life. Somewhere, Arceus is like, he's holding up Pikachu. Someday this will all be yours.
You're just happy you got a shiny Arceus for Torchic.
Yeah. I was like, all right, now I'm working on fixing my, collecting them all, I guess. And then, what, there's like 690-something of them now?
649.
Ooh. Yeah. Because
there's 493 and they added 150, right?
Something like that, yeah. So, yeah. Something there's like 600 there. Now. It's crazy.
And actually, Pokemon 494 is Vicini, and then it starts with Vicente. Snivy.
Yeah. And in the new Pokedex that you get in Black and White, Vicente's numbers are 000. So he's like before the starters. He's the Pokemon before time. He hangs out with Littlefoot and Sarah and Ducky.
And Petrie.
Petrie. And Spike. Everybody likes Spike.
You smell me?
I smell you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The movie was really good.
It was pretty good.
As usual, the exposition was obnoxious, and the narrator was unnecessary.
Nope. And there's
some of the voice actors changed, didn't they?
Yeah, they changed them. It's actually more of an introduction to Best Wishes, which is kind of neat. Because Best Wishes, Team Rocket's in those black uniforms, and nobody from the original thing except for Ash is there. I don't know how he funds all this. His father's probably a drug dealer. Who knows? But, yeah. But, it was, some of the humor there was kind of a little tongue-in-cheek, if you notice. Like, you remember Brock's, "Oh, my love for you is growing" comment or something.
That's not all that's growing, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. But, no, the, Team Rocket, as usual, had nothing to do. Mm-hmm. Which is okay. They're kind of there for kind of comic relief.
There wasn't enough of them, though.
No, there wasn't. There needed to be more Team Rocket. Yes.
I did like that it was free.
Yeah.
And the audience could have been a little bit more loud and obnoxious and fun. But still, even though the guy next to me was, like, pointing and cracking up and...
Well, remember, these are Pokemon fans. They're not, like, Twilight fans who are like, "Woo!" at the screen or whatnot.
Well, I mean, it is a shirtless Hispanic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Why am I saying yeah?
I don't know.
Ugh! Whatever. No.
Jacob. I hear you talking in your sleep, and you're like, "Jacob! No. Jacob! Yeah!" No. No, I'm joking.
You're horrible.
Yes. Anyway. Huh. All right. So should we move on from Pokemon?
No. Let's keep talking about the movie, though. Like, some of the stuff that happened in the plot was pretty great. Also, one thing I noticed about this one, there's a lot more... people on Pokemon violence in this than usual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The villain was, like, strangling Celebi for, like, 2 minutes. And then he was, like...
electrocuting things.
Yeah, especially that little... Yeah. Oh, my God, that one Zora? Pokemon is adorable.
Zoro?
Yes,
Zora?
He can transform into...
He has that illusion move.
Into Pokemon or people.
And when he's transformed his people, he's got tail, which is pretty hilarious. They had some fan service for Dawn.
Yes, all you have to do is squeeze the tail and they turn back into... he turns back into his original form.
So, when you squeeze the tail, they turn back into an animal.
Yes.
This is good dating advice. Not really.
No, that's
kind of
weird.
Yeah, that was kind
of
weird.
There are a lot of Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. Tons in this one. And there's
a lot of bug Pokemon.
Yeah. There's like Celebi.
C-Dot. No, what's the evolution of C-Dot? The evolution of C-Dot, anyway.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. It's like, poop, gone.
And that other bug Pokemon that's kind of like Scizor.
Scizor.
But he's not Scizor, he's red.
Something like that. Oh, yeah. Man, we're terrible at this. Yeah, it's like...
Nicknaming my Pokemon more and more, so I don't even remember their original names.
Yeah, I've always done that, like, because, like, when it comes to names, I like to pick, all sorts of neat little stuff from, like, mythology. For example, all the legendary birds that I caught in Heart and Gold, sorry, Soul Silver, I mean, I named them after Mexican deities, Aztec deities.
Oh.
So I was like, yeah, so they've all got these weird names I can't pronounce.
Oh.
It's awesome.
Oh, and they have the shiny legendary dogs in this movie, too.
Yeah, they had the legendary dogs in it, but they were, they're the shiny ones from the
event.
Well,
they had the legendary dogs, and then they had the shiny legendary dogs. And then Celebi is in the second or third movie it's been in.
Yeah, Celebi's been in a lot of them.
I didn't really like that Celebi movie.
I think the only good part
was the Sam Oak part.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this thing. Yeah, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched the third movie, I guess we could say spoilers. Maybe I'll put a spoilers thing up. And we're going to be having a lot of spoilers because we're going to go into what's coming up on Sunday this week. The Oscars are coming up. And we're going to talk about the Oscar animated short films. Oh, wait, real quick. Did we like the movie?
Yeah.
Pretty great. Yeah.
Yeah, especially for free.
Also, they gave us that big card.
Yeah, a giant Pokemon card.
It's like the size of a DVD case.
Yeah.
It's got a Zorua and a Celebi on it. And apparently, if you place it down, everybody has to switch decks. I guess at that point, if you're playing a competition and you were able to put that down, you're like, yeah, I'm switching decks with this person here. And you're like, okay, cool, now I'm running. Oh, also, apparently they're going to launch like that online Pokemon trading card game. That should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking at the card there, I realized, wow, they changed the rules or something. So all that stuff that was really, really good from the first generation or so that mm-hmm. I had, you can't use in tournaments, and the new rules kind of forbid it.
Multi-energy.
Yeah, those ones. Yeah, those things. Or the imposter, Professor Oak, and stuff. Ah, the card game. Yes,
all of my Pokemon cards are useless.
Oh, well, I still have mine. They're shiny, some of them. Still have Magi Nation cards. Find people to play that.
Huh. I have no idea what that is.
Oh, that was that Magi Nation? We had like this thing where we were sharing a forum with Magi World at one point. I actually got to bunk at a E3 with one of the developers of the Game Boy Color game. That was pretty cool. Is that one year I stayed over at E3 with all those it was myself and a room full of Mormons.
Oh, was that your second year?
Yeah, no, second or third. I'm trying to remember. But then when I was there, like I left with a couple CDs worth of anime and porn.
Good times.
Yeah. It got me back into anime. Evangelion, Love Hina, Serial Experiments, Lain. Yeah, those were pretty good. And then I copied those CDs there and then eventually bought the domestic releases, as everyone should do. Buy the domestic releases. They're out. Buy them through rightstuff.com or through JList. Or through, I think East Starland sells stuff, and so does Amazon. And you can click through those through dmgice.com. Please support us. Buy things. Okay, yeah.
Yes, back to the Oscars.
Yeah, back to the Oscars. We are going to have spoiler alert in full swing for the Oscar animated short films and the Oscar animated feature films. Let's go through the short films first. The short film list, it's Day and Night by Tay Newton. That's that Pixar one. The Gruffalo.
And that's the one that played before Toy Story 3, correct?
Yeah. Okay. That's the one most people have seen. The Gruffalo by Jacob Shu and Max Lang. Let's Pollute by Jeffrey Boydo.
Jeffrey Boydo.
Man, who named him? His kid?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't have a name until my kid named me.
Yes.
The Lost Thing by Sean Tan and Andrew Ruhiman?
Ruman. Ruman. Well, that's an Australian.
Ruman. Ah. Then Madagascar, Carnet de Voyage, Madagascar, A Journey Diary by Bastien Dubois.
Yep.
Bastien. I'm surprised there's no Falcor in it. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Obscurity.
Day and Night was pretty gimmicky.
Day and Night is pretty gimmicky. I felt that it was cute. It was very much like older cartoons, old silent cartoons.
Pretty shallow, though.
Yeah, it's pretty shallow. And it's a little message of, we must accept the people who are different. I'm like, that seems kind of tacked on here for what was really just more of a funny little film. You know, Pixar has to attach some type of weird message or something to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's okay. Then the Gruffalo, which is a...
Based on a children's book, right?
Based on a children's book, and
don't you know there's no such thing as a Gruffalo?
Oh yeah, starts out with this squirrel, the mother squirrel, voiced by Helena Bonham Carter, who, by the way, is up for an Oscar in The King's Speech as a supporting actress.
Yes, which is also a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. I hope that one wins. Anyways, the Gruffalo recounts the story of a mouse,
as told by the mother squirrel.
Yeah.
About a mouse who...
At first he runs into a fox. Yeah, like, he's going to this hill to get some of these little nuts, because, you know, it's a squirrel. Nuts.
Hunger, yeah.
Hunger.
Yes. And so the fox is going to eat him. And so he uses his brain and says, well, I'm eating a Gruffalo. He's like, what's a Gruffalo? Don't you know?
So he's like, yeah, oh, and it's he describes got sharp him. Fangs.
Yes, he describes him to the fox. And then the fox is like, where are you meeting him? Oh, right here, by this like, tree.
Oh, have I told you his favorite food?
Yes.
He likes, what was it, fox soup or something? Is it fox soup?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was fox soup or something like that. He tells him that, yeah, this anyway. Thing eats foxes. And
he
then,
does this with three or four different animals.
Yeah, he tells the owl that it likes owl ice cream. He tells the snake that it likes
scrambled snake.
Yeah, scrambled snake. Then he gets to the tree and he runs into the Gruffalo, which he thought was imaginary. Thought that he made him up. And the Gruffalo's like, ah, oh, I'm going to eat you. And he's like, no, I'm the most fearsome thing that's here. You should be afraid of me. So the Gruffalo's like, you're kidding. And so he goes back and the Gruffalo's following him and he runs into the snake. Mm-hmm. And he's all like, oh, hey, snake. And snake's like...
One by one, he scares all the other animals.
Yeah, because they see the Gruffalo and they're like, oh my god, the Gruffalo, when they run off. Then at the end there, the Gruffalo's like, still thinking of eating him. And then the mouse's stomach grumbles. And he goes, oh, I'm hungry. You know what my favorite snack is? And then the Gruffalo comes in and he says, Gruffalo crumble. And the Gruffalo's like, oh my god, everything else is afraid of this mouse, and this mouse just said that his favorite food is me. So the Gruffalo runs off and scared, and then the mouse gets his nut, mm-hmm. and he leaves, lives happily really ever after. Yeah. Awesome. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those.
And it was well animated. It was.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of computer really animated.
Pretty, yeah.
Yeah. Then the next one was Let's Pollute, which is a traditionally animated film. And it's like one of the, it's really overbearing. It's meant to be kind of like one of those old public service announcements.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's supposed to tell you the best ways to pollute. And
throw everything you use out. Only use it once.
Yeah, it was satirical, but it was really, really heavy-handed. And parts of it were like, oh yeah, that's kind of funny. But it felt like Keith Olbermann or Michael Moore was sitting there, like, let's say you're eating steak, and then Michelle Obama comes over to tell you how much you shouldn't be eating steaks. And you're like, woman, you ate ribs. And she's like, no, they were healthy. These are healthy ribs. And then just continues to nag you for hours and hours on end while you're trying to enjoy your meal. And you're like, no, that's what Let's Pollute is. It's a horribly nagging waste of animation. And I didn't feel that it was either clever or intelligent, and... It's just like, it was dumb. It was like, I like the style of animation here, but this was just dumb. It's a waste of talent, is what it was. A real waste of talent.
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
Yeah. Then we saw The Lost Thing. The Lost Thing had some of the same little messages in it as Let's Pollute, but The Lost Thing was amazing, I thought.
It was really, like, the animation style was really kind of, it was neat, but it was like,
CG, the weird cross between CGI and stop motion in a way is so weird, but it's also based off of a book, and it was really cool. I really liked that one. My favorites were The Gruffalo and The Lost Thing, then Day and Night.
And The Lost Thing was about this boy who collects bottle caps.
Yeah.
And he finds this lost thing on a beach, and he eventually finds a place to put it after taking it home and having no use for it. And there's a bunch of other lost things.
Yeah, a bunch of weird lost things that live in this area. The lost thing itself is like this huge boiler-looking thing with claws and tentacles coming out of it.
Yeah, it was kind of set in a dystopic future.
Yeah, where everything was... It's kind of like everything's very, very commercial, kind of like, I guess you could say...
Yeah, and the houses were kind of tubed together.
Yeah,
weird.
It was a weird urban sprawl, but it was really well done. I liked it. Music for it was good too. Then there was Madagascar Carnet de Voyage, which I liked some of the 3D effects to it. It felt like it had a lot of depth to it, but unfortunately...
It was about a French guy that goes to Madagascar, right?
Yeah, he goes to Madagascar to see...
His experience with the people.
Yeah, and it was more or less like, wow, this is kind of boring, and kind of...
The animation style was weird.
Yeah.
Some parts of it were really cool and parts of it were like...
Really ugly.
Really ugly.
Yeah.
But the parts that were really cool, it was almost like 3D.
Yeah, it was like 3D without glasses. And that was kind of neat. You could see into the screen at these points. And that was a really neat effect. I really liked that.
But I didn't like the story enough.
No, the story was kind of, hi, I'm going to go here and witness this event where they dig a dead person out of the ground and then rebury them in a crypt area.
Yeah, it felt kind of broken and
I was like, not yeah. complete. It felt like there should have been a bit more explanation, but I didn't really care to hear the rest of the explanation. Really good work on the animation there, though, for the most part. There were some parts that were just hideous. Mm-hmm. But I think that out of these ones, I think the Gruffalo will win.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd be happy with the Lost Thing, too.
Yeah, the Gruffalo or the Lost Thing. It depends. If this particular Oscars is very political, we'll end up with, like, the Kids Are All Right will win, and that was what oh, you saw.
Oh, gosh, that was boring, and I don't know why. We were in a Blockbuster or something, and I can't, where was it? I don't know. Someone was like, oh, let's rent this, and I'm thinking, that was, I downloaded it, I watched it, and I'm like, that was so boring. It's about this couple, this lesbian couple that has two kids from a sperm donor. Each one of them got pregnant with the same sperm, and then the dad, the girl turns 18 before she goes to college, and her little brother's like, "Oh, contact her dad. You owe it to me." So she calls him, and then they get to know each other, and it's just really boring. And he ends up sleeping with one of the lesbians, and it kind of messes everything up in the family. And it was just like, what does that have to do with the kids being all right?
I don't know. It's just one of those movies where you're like, it's only really here because Hollywood has this tendency to be like, well, we need to...
lesbian couples.
Well, that's why Milk was there last year. What certainly wasn't for acting.
And the lesbian couple is watching gay porn. Men. Man on men. And I was just
that's
like,
weird.
Really?
Why would... I know a lot of people who are lesbian or bisexual or so, and I'm like, wait, lesbians would not watch. Why would lesbians watch male gay porn?
They like strap-ons. I don't know.
No, that's just weird. That was just kind of weird. But
the movie was kind of pointless. Yeah, to me.
I hope that my opinion is I think The King's Speech should win because like we've seen most of the live action ones, but we're not going to talk about the live action feature films in much more depth. We're going to talk about the animated feature films. Wait, do you want the Gruffalo to win?
Yes.
Yes, definitely the Gruffalo.
Second choice, The Lost Thing.
Yeah, third choice, Day and Night. That depends on how much Pixar love there is. Pixar.
Yes.
But let's look at the animated feature films. There was a bunch of nominees. If there had been one more nominee, we would be looking at 5 animated feature film nominees.
Sad.
Which is kind of sad because...
And I'm really annoyed that Tangled was not up.
Yeah, Tangled
they
was
must
good.
Have something against
oh,
Disney.
Summer Wars
that was so good.
Yeah, Summer Wars.
But was that American? Can that be nominated? Yeah, that
yeah,
can
it
be
can
nominated
be nominated because like
that
The Illusionist is French. Yeah, like Summer Wars is really good and just no chance whatsoever. If you have a chance, go see Summer Wars. Also, Tangled. Tangled is pretty good too.
Like, go buy Summer Wars.
Yeah,
it's
go buy
just
Summer
that
Wars.
Good.
Yeah, it's good. It's from the person who did The Girl Who Leapt Through Time and the first 3 Digimon movies, which were patched together as just a single movie in the United States, which is kind of weird because it suddenly doesn't have a coherent story.
It sounds like it's bad, but it's actually not,
oh, yeah.
not bad at all. And
Summer
The Girl
Wars
Who
good.
Leapt Through Time is one of the best animated feature-length movies, I think.
That you've seen?
That I've seen.
Yeah. We'll watch some more
it's
at that point. Yeah.
A lot of people like it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's pretty well received.
Those ones got totally snubbed on that. I mean, some of the stuff that was up for animated feature things, I mean, no one's going to give an animated feature film Oscar to Yogi Bear.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Megamind or Despicable Me, those were supposed to be pretty good. I didn't see either of those.
But the ones we did see.
Yeah, Tangled was good and Summer Wars was really good and those got snubbed and that's really a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
So the ones that were up for
are
officially nominated are...
Go ahead and read them out.
How to Train Your Dragon by Chris Sanders and Dean DuBois.
DuBois.
And that was DreamWorks, right?
Yeah, that's DreamWorks. Oh, Chris Sanders did Lilo and Stitch and Mulan.
Oh, I love
before
those.
Getting fired flat out by John Lasseter. Yeah, John Lasseter fired
Maybe
him right out.
Maybe that explains how to Train Your Dragon went. That was actually pretty good.
And that's why... That's why Toothless is kind of like Stitch. Mm-hmm. Then we've got The Illusionist by Sylvain Chomet.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, he also did The Triplets of Belleville, which was also nominated for an Academy Award for the animated feature film a couple years back. And that was a really good film, too. That one was more comical, but mm-hmm. The Illusionist is more sensitive, I could say. Then there's Toy Story 3 by Lee Unkrich and the team at Pixar. So, what did you think of How to Train Your Dragon?
It was pretty good. I don't think it was even as good as Tangled or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How to Train Your Dragon, it was good for a DreamWorks film. It was really good for a DreamWorks film. I don't think it deserves to win. I think it deserves to be nominated.
Oh, definitely deserves to be nominated.
It was really good for a DreamWorks movie.
Well, yeah. Well, remember, DreamWorks used to make good movies, like at one point. Remember Prince of Egypt?
The character was actually likable. His smile wasn't obnoxious.
Yeah.
The dragons were awesome and adorable.
The humor wasn't really obnoxious either. And it was really about, like, actually, all three of these films have some really good, strong, positive family messages to them. How to Train Your Dragon was about a father and a son, and they're trying to understand each other through trying to understand these dragons that live in their world. In a way, kind of like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, in a way. Remember that one's subplot there is the father and son trying to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
Although Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
What a fishing metaphor. It means I love you.
Fishing metaphors mean I love you. That one, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, was really good, and I can't wait to see what they do with Rio. But
oh, yes, that comes out soon.
Yep, Angry Birds in Rio. But yeah, I thought How to Train Your Dragon was really well animated. We saw it in 3D, and it had some of the best 3D sequences outside of Avatar. But unlike Avatar, How to Train Your Dragon had a plot. Yeah, and the 3D in it was done really, really well. The 3D was done really, really well in Tangled as well. Rapunzel. Tangled. Yeah, and that one got snubbed for it, which is kind of sad. But How to Train Your Dragon, I don't think it should win. I think it definitely deserves commendation. But if we had three there, I would rather have replaced How to Train Your Dragon with Summer Wars or Tangled.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels like somebody at DreamWorks paid to have it there.
Mm-hmm.
The next one up there, let's talk about Toy Story 3 before we talk about The Illusionist.
Yeah, I wanted to do that too.
Yeah, Toy Story 3... I feel that movie does not stand on its own without the previous two movies. Because you have to know the characters to care about the characters, because there's no character development in it, aside from the fears and anxieties of these toys at being replaced.
You wouldn't be crying at the end if that was the first Toy Story movie you had seen.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It's good because it makes a perfect trilogy. There's very few perfect trilogies of films out there. There's always, like, the third film is always the weakest. You go to Back to the Future 3
or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 3.
X-Men
3. Yeah. It's always the third film that's always the weakest in a lot of these trilogies. But not so with Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3 was a strong film with a good emotional hook.
Yeah, I would say Toy Story 2 is the weakest of the three.
I don't know. I kind of saw Toy Story 3, sorry, 2 again recently, and I was like, wow, this is, It kind of deals with the same issues, though. They deal with the same issues of abandonment throughout all three of these.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen The Brave Little Toaster, then you've seen all three Toy Story movies, right down to the end where they're in the little junkyard area there, and there's that crane.
Except replace appliances with toys.
Talking cars. Yeah. They were singing cars in The Brave Little Toaster who were being dragged off, and one of them's like, I was a racer, etc. So I'm like,
oh, gosh.
Good Lord. Every single Pixar film has come out of Brave Little Toaster.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie, yeah. But all of these have come out, which is okay, which is reasonable to understand, because if you look at the staff for Brave Little Toaster, they're all Pixar people. And I'm like, yeah, that's what happened. But yeah, Toy Story 3 I don't feel should win. It probably might win, but I don't feel it should win because it doesn't stand on its own
I'll be disappointed if it wins.
Yeah, disappointment a ton. But, it's Pixar. Pixar has a tendency where they're like, oh, you made a movie. Cool, we're going to nominate you. And sometimes that's not right. I would have to say, though, what do you think's the best Pixar movie?
Name some of them off.
Okay, they had a Toy Story... Toy Story 2, Toy Story 3,
mm-hmm.
Monsters Incorporated, Ratatouille,
Cars.
The Incredibles, Cars, and A Bug's Life, and Up, and WALL-E.
Ratatouille.
Yeah, I think Ratatouille is actually their perfect film. That one in The Incredibles. The Incredibles, especially if you're a fan of The Watchmen, there's elements of that in The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. And it's from Brad Bird, who also did The Iron Giant, mm-hmm. which was a film that got snubbed at the Oscars and such and really shouldn't have because really good film.
The thing I don't like about Up is the second half of the movie is pretty boring.
It falls apart.
And the same goes for Wall-E.
Yeah. Wall-E kind was...
kind of spirals down.
Like, it goes into space and then it becomes... Yeah, it doesn't get good until he gets back down to Earth for those last little bits. Remember where his memory gets kind of... Yeah. I mean, the whole little bit there near the beginning, it's perfect at that point. It's almost perfect until the second half. Same with Up.
The Bug's Life didn't win a
No, I don't think so. I don't remember.
We rewatched that recently, and it really wasn't very good.
No,
it
was really Bug's Life is
sad. It was like, this is boring.
It's ugly looking too these days.
Yes, I'm blurry.
Oh my gosh! I'm like, wow, this is bad.
Ants
like,
is better. I actually like Ants a little bit better.
Ants is a Woody Allen movie to me. Because remember, the main character in Ants is voiced by Woody Allen.
Okay.
And he's doing the same...
I don't know.
Woody Allen's only good if you're making fun of him, which they do during Ants, so that's, you know, that makes it better.
All right.
Yeah.
Cars is really good. I like
Cars. Yeah, Cars was surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
Monsters Incorporated.
Oh. It was pretty
good. Yeah, there's certain... Oh, Finding Nemo! We forgot to mention Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo, the first 15 minutes of Up, the first 5 to 10 minutes of Finding Nemo, and the endings for Monsters Incorporated, the ending for Monsters Incorporated are those points where it's poignant. It's okay to cry at Pixar movies. Especially,
definitely in Toy Story 3.
Oh, Toy Story 3, yeah. It's definitely okay to cry at Pixar movies. Nothing like that in Wall-E. But Ratatouille actually made me like Janine Garofalo.
Well, I wish I had seen that in theaters, because I saw it on DVD once.
I have it on Blu-ray.
Well, the first time I saw it was on DVD, and it was just like, I love this movie. This is great.
It's
It's funny, and you like the characters, and the French boy with the ginger French boy, he was really cool.
It was pretty funny. I liked him. All the little... that had a part there near the end when the critic eats the food and it takes him back to his childhood, and you're like,
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, that was, also, it was... It's about a boy and his rat.
Did Ratatouille win?
I don't remember if it did.
It came about 3 years ago. I wonder if it won.
We'd have to check at some point. But, overall, those are pretty good Pixar films. But, let's get to The Illusionist.
Yes.
The Illusionist...
That's French, right?
Yeah, but it's French. And they didn't really translate it.
They didn't have a single subtitle, and it wasn't necessary at all. I think maybe there were 30 words tops.
There's a little bit English, a little bit Gaelic.
Yeah, there's like hello, and a little bit of Gaelic, but you really don't need to know what they're saying to understand everything there is to understand in the movie.
One thing I felt that was interesting about it is that the whole point of the movie, part of it, wasn't really shown until the end of it, when you see, like, the picture that the main character is looking at, and you realize that, well, the main plot of The Illusionist is that this magician who's kind of a little...
A traveling magician.
Yeah, he's kind of washed up, I guess you could say. He gets a gig out in Scotland, and he goes up there, and then while at this gig, he runs into this girl, and this girl decides to follow him back to his other gig that was in Breckenridge?
Edinburgh. And... So he, for some reason, he keeps spending his money on her.
Oh.
He buys her a pair of shoes, then he buys her a coat, then he buys her a pair of high heels, and it's just like...
It's like, why are you doing this? And you find out later, though, that there's some backstory there. Maybe he's got a picture of his daughter, who looks a little bit like her, and I guess his daughter had died or something, because he's just wandering, and there's nothing... It's not like The Professional or anything.
He's just quite sad.
He's just kind of a sad character who's kind of sees her as his daughter. And all this stuff happens there. At the end of it, he's not the better off for it. He ends up selling his magician equipment. And it's really kind of tragic. I mean, yeah, there's spoilers in this, just so you're all warned. But yes, go see The Illusionist. I know we gave away some prominent plot points here, but go see it. Forget those plot points. Scrub them out of your mind. Or use some mental floss.
Yes, take some... toothbrushes and put them in your ears.
Yeah. Mental floss. Use toothpaste. with baking soda. It's got bubbles.
And sugar.
And sugar, yeah. Saccharin. Sodium saccharin. And you're like, oh, really? Why is there sugar in toothpaste?
Why?
I don't know. I think it's so that people will eat it. I mean, not eat it. You're not supposed to swallow it. It's like, I guess, okay, why do you have to bribe people to take care of their teeth? Never mind.
Why are you going off on that?
I don't know. But, yeah, The Illusionist was really good. It's really well animated, too. It's one of the only... Actually, it's the only one of the animated feature films that was traditionally animated. Yeah, it's really nicely done.
It's one of those... a lot of things in the background. It's quite funny. Like, you at one point, they're sitting in front of a fish and chips restaurant.
Yeah, and you can read the menu. You look at the
menu, and it's just pretty funny. You can read
the menu, yeah.
Funny. Don't they say, like, salad?
With the... Shoot, they were out of the salad.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah, they're out of the salad, but then there's, like, all this other stuff, and there's, like, with something with beef and all that. There's a lot of little details, and I can't wait to see the Blu-ray on it, because then I can pause and check out the little details. Mm-hmm. But one thing about it is we've been playing through the Professor Layton games.
Oh, jeez.
Before the... we'd been playing through them before we saw The Illusionist, and it occurred that the only problem with The Illusionist is I'm watching it, and I want to tap the screen for hint coins.
Yes, actually, while we were waiting for The Illusionist to start, I was playing Professor Layton in The Curious Village. Or was it the Diabolical Box.
Yeah, I had just finished Unwound Future.
Yeah, I was doing a quick puzzle, and then I turned it off when the movie started. And actually, the nice thing, we went to the Mayan Theater in Denver, and they have a guy come out and introduce the movie and say, I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for visiting the Mayan. Enjoy your movie.
And that was really nice. I haven't been in a movie theater in a while that's done that, and that was a really nice touch. Mm-hmm. I would definitely go see movies there again, just the prices are a little uppity.
And the popcorn's not very good.
No, the popcorn's not very good. Then I went out there before the movie or so, and you see people out there sitting at the bar drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm like, oh my god, hipsters!
It's Denver.
Yeah, it's Denver. We're here in hipster capital of the world. Ah! Well, probably not hipster capital of the world.
Yes, but certain people would love to visit just for the medical marijuana.
Yeah, that happens. But you have to deal with the hipsters. They're people in their UGG boots and their
tight jeans. The very, very tight jeans.
You're like, wow, you're cutting off all circulation to that.
Men walking around with purses.
Yeah, let's see. You're running around with purses, and you're wearing really tight jeans that are probably cutting off the circulation to there.
Oh, and glasses without lenses.
Ugh. Okay, I wear glasses because I need them to see sometimes. Like, okay, I can see without them, but they make my eyes get tired, so I wear them. I like them. But they're not a fashion statement.
Yeah, especially that yours, being said, your glasses are like 10 years old.
Yeah, but to be honest, I think that, well, I would make passes at chicks wearing glasses.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, glasses. Glasses.
Yeah. I used to work with a girl when I waitressed who she would wear frames with no lenses. And they would be the thick black ones, the plastic ones, just to look, this is before hipsters were around. This is like 2005.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, and she before just thought it looked cool. I don't know.
Like, some of my favorite characters in anime wear glasses. Like, Yomiko from Read or Die. Yomiko Readman from Read or Die wears glasses. Glasses. But yeah, the Illusionist was rather good. Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what do you think should win? What do you think out of those three? Toy Story 3?
The Chinchilla Pokemon.
The Chinchilla Pokemon? We need to give the Chinchilla Pokemon an Oscar?
Obviously, I'm rooting for the Illusionist.
Yeah, the Illusionist. We're rooting for the Illusionist, and we'll be disappointed if it doesn't win. But if it does, that would be nice, because I think more people need to be like, whoa, this one won what? They'll check it out.
More people should check out that movie, and I don't think a lot of people have seen it or even know about it, because most people say The Illusionist, and they think, oh, that magician movie, that live-action magician movie with
Paul Giamatti.
I thought it was Ed Norton.
Is it Ed Norton or Paul Giamatti?
I don't know, Jessica Biel, or was she in The Prestige?
I don't remember.
Right? Anyway, that movie that came out like 4 years ago.
I liked that movie. I thought it was pretty good. Because I like period films. Mm-hmm. Like the ones where they're Oh, like the King's Speech. It's like post-World War I, pre-World War II, and it's based off of history. And I'm like, yes, I like everything about this movie.
And they did it well.
Yeah, they did.
Even with Edward Norton's wife.
Wait, Edward Norton's wife? Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, sorry. Tim Burton's
wife. Whoa, okay. Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah, she's cheating on Tim Burton with Ed Norton.
Yes, the queen in that Alice in Wonderland
movie. Which is up for an Oscar for special effects.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, that's all that was a special effect. It wasn't a story.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either, but I've seen clips, and I'm like, ooh, this is badly acted and hideous.
Oof. I would be surprised if How to Train Your Dragon won.
That would be a surprising upset, because remember, DreamWorks has actually done some pretty decent stuff. I mean, yeah, they're the house that Shrek built.
What'd they come up last year?
I think last year was like Kung Fu Panda or something like that.
Oh, I never saw
it. I don't remember. Oh, I have it. It's pretty good, actually.
I tried to watch it once or twice, and I was just like, I don't really feel like watching it.
Yeah.
Because all I see are the smiles. The DreamWorks smiles. Yeah.
Well, those are even in Prince of Egypt.
Oh, which, that was a good movie.
Oh, yeah, that was. That's one of those that needs to be on Blu-ray. Yes,
I do really prefer traditional animation to 3D.
Yeah.
And I really liked The Princess and the Frog. And next is Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
And then after Winnie the Pooh, what's the 3D?
I don't know yet. I have to check. I know that Pixar is doing Brave after Cars 2. Cars 2 is this year, Brave is next year, and I'm trying to remember
Who's doing Rio?
Rio is by Sony Pictures.
The people that did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs,
and that looks pretty good.
That one didn't win.
No. Gummy bears, play with us! Oh, man. That was pretty good, actually. And, well, we're hoping The Illusionist will win. But, yeah, that's our Oscar discussion, our Pokemon discussion. And now, after this, we're going to go ahead and clip in some of the interesting incidentals from the Pokemon event. First up for that will be the little quick read I did of the stats for the Pokemon that were in my party in the demo. And then after that, myself being kicked out of the event by Rent-A-Cop, Paul Blart, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
except he was missing a segue. If he had a segue,
he would have been. I mean, we stopped and waited for him to get up there. We're trying to be as polite as possible with this when it really wasn't fair.
And it was pretty embarrassing to be a guy following us.
Yeah, to be the guy following us, that was kind of annoying. And the only real reason we go into that mall, because remember, the GameStop there's not even that good.
No, the people
and the arcade. Okay, they had a Street Fighter 4 machine over there, which is awesome, but doesn't work. And the claw machines there don't work properly either. And the only good thing is the pet store. But when we went in there last time and this time and the other times we've been there, I guess kittens are out of season, so they don't have kittens in there.
That's not a joke.
No,
we asked, where are the kittens?
Kittens are out of season.
Yes.
Yeah, like they're grapes or something. You gotta squeeze the kitten to make sure they're ripe. Oh, these kittens are out of season.
The bunnies, though.
They have the bunnies. I like the bunnies.
And the Chick-fil-A is not very good either.
Yeah, no, it's not as good as the standalone Chick-fil-A. In other words, it's a D-level mall. I think we had a little bit of Twitter feedback on that, and I thought that was pretty amusing. But we'll go into feedback and stuff on the next official show of Radio DMG. But for now, this is Philip and
Sarah.
And we're signing out. Thank you for listening to Radio DMG. We've been your hosts for this show, and good night. We're playing the demo. The first one's up. We have a Tepig.
Menu.
Yeah, Tepig. It's a level 25, HP 71, attack 39, defense 30, special attack 26, special defense 30, speed 29, has an Everstone to prevent it from evolving, and has Blaze. The next one here is Zora, which that's Z-O-R-U-A, level 22, comes out disguised as the Pokemon in the back, that's its illusion move. Everstone, attack 37, defense 25, special attack 41, special defense 24, speed 42, HP 49, it's a level 22. Deerling, normal grass, level 20,
Sap Sipper boosts attack when hit by a grass type move equipped with an Everstone. HP 58, attack 32, defense 29, special attack 26, special defense 34, speed 34. Let's look at the moves. Tepig has Flame Charge, Smog, Takedown, and Rollout. Zorora has Fake Tears, Fury Swipes, Faint Attack, Scary Face. Deerling has Double Kick, Leech Seed, Faint Attack, Takedown. We're fighting up against a level 15 Snivy. I don't really think that's fair. In a way, that's not really fair. Yeah, you have a Snivy in your game?
Yeah, I'm
playing. And Deerling. Okay. In battle. Let's see. We're hitting fight. The weather is rainy. Flame charge. Name and badge number?
My name's James Chinwine.
Uh-huh.
There's no badge number.
No badge number?
Nope.
Okay, just kind of wondering.
Well, we've asked you to not take pictures in the mall. And I saw you taking pictures again, so that's why I asked you to off.
Sorry about that.
Okay?
Yeah, I was wondering because, like, we saw so many other people taking pictures, too.
But, okay, parents are allowed to take pictures of the kids, but if we see any professional photographers, that's what we're addressing. If you don't have authorization from the mall office, if you did have the authorization.
Yeah, we tried to get the authorization, and we never heard back from them.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's between you and the mall office.
Yeah. So if I'm taking pictures, like, if I'm taking pictures of, like, say, Oshawa or something with my girlfriend or with people I know, is that okay? Because I do know really.
Okay. Well, you're allowed to take pictures of, you know, friends and family or your children. But unfortunately, you know, I asked you not to take pictures since I know that you are a professional photographer. You continued on. So unfortunately, okay. I'm just asking you out for the day. I'm not banning you or anything like that.
Okay.
But in order to, you know, take pictures, you need to get with Warren or Colin.
Is it okay if, like, I did want to take a picture of, like, Oshawa.
Check in the upper level with,
we missed Oshawa, which is the little blue one. We took a picture of Snivy, and we got a picture with Tepig. We were just missing one of the mascot ones.
Okay.
I saw Riley over there, and I said hi. And, yeah. But is it okay? It's okay if, like, friends and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, I was wondering about that because I saw so many other people in there, and with the Pokemon people, when we were inside of their pavilion, they let us. They're like, "Oh yeah, you guys." It's like, "Oh, you guys can take pictures and stuff," because they're with, like, MKGT marketing and with the Pokemon company, and they let us take pictures inside that one booth.
Well, that's up to Pokemon since it's their, you know, they're leasing that space out or whatever the arrangement is with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, our issue is out in the common area.
Okay? Ah, no problem.
And like I said, since I already warned you once and then I caught you doing it again.
Sorry about that.
Okay. That's why we're asking you off pretty for the day.
Hmm.
You know, unfortunately, I don't know who these people are. I don't know if you know who they are, you know. And you'd already been asked not to take the pictures.
Yeah, we didn't
take
the pictures from those, but I saw Riley and I was like, because I know.
But, you know, that's what that is. I mean, you know, like I said, if you get with Colin or Warren, you know,
I called
through
Warren
the website.
And they said that, like, we're not authorized to take it. Like, they got back. Warren finally called me back, and I was like, "Oh, I just need 24 hours on that."
Yeah.
I was like, "Great," because I'd sent you guys. I don't know if I ended up in a spam filter or something, because I'd sent stuff before that. Because before the before this, there was some stuff on Facebook where we were talking about the meetups for that. And what we did with those is we contacted there because, like, apparently you're not supposed to have anything that covers your face or, like, your face with that. And we got the rules on that. Now, when we went through that, we were like, okay, certain pictures are okay. I figured if it's people from the Facebook group, it'd be okay.
Well, like I said, I don't know who they are. You could know them. Unfortunately, you know, I had already addressed you regarding that fact. So, you know.
Okay.
Now,
you know, that's where the issue stands. You know, I've already asked you not to take the pictures. I saw you taking pictures again. That's why I'm asking you off property for the day. You know, biggest thing is you need to get with Colin or Warren regarding, you know, coming back in, like, if you want to try to come back tomorrow.
Well, I can't cover it tomorrow because okay. we have a pressing engagement with that. Okay. But we're just missing one of the larger Pokemon okay. that they had there.
Unfortunately, you know, like I said, I'm asking off property for the day. So, unless you can get somebody in, you know, to come take a picture for you, I can't let you, you know, stay in the mall.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay, are you transferring me out to the car?
Huh?
Are you walking me out to my car?
Actually, Mobile's going to be making sure you do leave property.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay, so can we have ticket things for the movie. Can we still go see the movie?
Yeah, you can go over to the okay. theater. That's fine. You know, you just can't stay on the property, you know, as far as the mall property here.
Ah. Okay, I was just wondering what the deal was with that, because it was like, that's so weird. Because, like, we've taken pictures at malls before, like...
Right. And but probably had authorization from the mall
office.
Well,
we got a... Well, the other one was not a Simon Mall, though.
Okay.
So that,
see,
they
that
were
might
like,
be
yeah.
part of the problem.
Oh, okay.
The difference, I should say. You know.
Yeah, because, like, they're kind of bad about getting back to me on stuff. Like, for example, I wanted to rent out one of the sections mm-hmm. over there in the mall, and I called them up, and then they never got back to me with pricing on it.
Unfortunately, that's between you and the mall office.
Yeah.
I'm only here to, you know, follow their policies and go off of what their recommendations are and their rulings. Okay.
Okay.
You know, if you're having issues with the mall office, unfortunately, that's between you and the mall office.
Okay.
I have no way to help you out with that.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about all that.
No, sorry about that.
I didn't mean to. It's like, yeah, it just seemed kind of weird. Just like, I've never had that happen to me before.
Yeah. Unfortunately, with this event going on, you know, normally we don't allow photography in the mall anyways. But, you know, with this event going on, we've been told, you know, if anybody from media or professional photographers come in, unless they are with standby. Unless they are with the marketing director or the mall office, then we're not allowed to allow you to continue to take photographs.
Okay. So like, if I were here with like the Rocky Mountain News or something, right?
Same.
Okay.
If they're not with our marketing director or the mall manager, I'd be asking them to stop, and if I saw them again, I'd be kicking them out of the mall.
Okay.
As well.
No problem.
You know, it's. To me, I could care less what agency they're with or who anybody's with. If they're not authorized, they're not authorized.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sorry about
no
all
problem.
That.
No problem.
No problem.
All right.
Okay.
Damn it, Orion.